passage of Scripture, though I am not preaching on this passage tonight, you'll understand once I get started. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. What things do you have that are important to you? Paul had some things that were important to him. But he came to a place in his life where he said he counted them as lost. They were no longer important. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. Why? Here's why he counted them lost. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. Now you know what dung is, don't you? It's a manure pile. And he, those things that at one time kept him from Christ, now he said, that's what he thinks of them. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here was his goal, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. There's many things that we could preach regarding being conformable to the death of Christ. One is for certain. Jesus voluntarily gave his life. He voluntarily gave up whatever would have been of value to him. And that's the example that Paul followed. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't think that I've achieved this, Paul says. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, I pray you lead us, guide us, make that which is shared tonight to be of help to us, the people of Black Creek Baptist Church. I pray in your name, amen. Now, some of the things that I'm going to share are going to be obvious. As a matter of fact, some of the things that I'm going to share, you may already be doing. You may already know them. But what I want to look at is the role of a supporting church, of a sending church. Liberty Behind Bars and the Morey family, we are their supporting church, not only in that we give monthly to their financial support, but we are their supporting church. We are their sending church. And working with Dale is Ronnie and Amy Scholten. And I gave you that prayer card because, and made that poster because of what they're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks. We are their sending church. We are their supporting church. Now, the first thing that we need to do as a supporting church is pray. You say, well, that's obvious. I told you there'd be some things that are obvious. We need to pray for them. But that means we, that's you and me, we need to pay attention to specifics of requests that are made. And so if I stand up, as I will later, and I'm going to tell you where Dale will be Saturday morning and Sunday. Now listen to me. If you're talking to each other, you're going to miss that. How are you going to pray for them? Then you'll become very sanctimonious. Lord, I'm not sure where they're at now, but you know. Well, of course he knows. He knows that. You think you have to remind God of it? Why don't you just admit it? Lord, I was talking when I should have been listening, and therefore, I don't know where they're at, but I do pray for them. Be honest with God. You can't fake him out. So pay attention to specifics for requests. And that means read the prayer letters. I told you when I read Mel Trotter's testimony and thought of a particular felon and started crying. I'd probably start crying if I knew actually how few people read the prayer letters that we pass out. I'd probably weep, not just cry, I'd probably weep if I knew how few it is that only read Dale and Amy's letters. Because that's worse than even reading others, not reading others. Friends, we're a sending church. Being a sending church doesn't give us bragging rights. Oh yeah, we got a fellow in the prison ministry out of our church. And what we're inferring when we're talking to some Christian from elsewhere, we're inferring, do you have somebody in the prison ministry? Yeah, well, no, that isn't what I mean. Well, what did you mean? Well, I just meant. Read the prayer letters. You know, sometimes I go home and I'll think how I talked here. And I'll think to myself, you know, you were a little hard. Maybe you could have said that a little nicer. You know what? I see it happen when I say things nicely. Okay? I guess I say things the way I do say them because I want them to be heard. I had a fellow tell me one time, preach because you have something to say, not just because you're expected to say something. I'm going to repeat that. That's good. And when I heard it about 35 years ago, I took note to it. Preach not just because you're expected to say something, but because you have something to say. And so when I give announcements, when I talk about prayer letters, I'm saying these things because they're things that need to be heard and known. These are things. Now, didn't we have a good missionary on Sunday? Boy, when he talked about the heart of the church, the heart of God is missions, the health of the church is missions. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You read the prayer letters. And then when you read the prayer letters, another thing that's important is you get yourself a highlighter. They're not expensive. But if you can't afford it, you let me know and I'll buy you one. You say, oh, I'd never admit it to you. I wouldn't take it from up front. I wouldn't even be unkind to you. But you need to get a highlighter. And when you read those prayer letters, what impresses you, then you put a highlight on that. So the next time you pick up that letter, your eyes immediately draw to that thing that you know from your reading needs to be prayed for. So read the prayer letters and then keep them. And I know how this goes. I'm human. I not only get all of our prayer letters, I get some prayer letters from some of the folks when I was pastoring over at Grace. And you just can't keep up with everything. And so you read a prayer letter and you lay it aside And then, you know, a week later, what's this? Oh, I don't know. And you throw it away. That's not good. And, you know, I think to myself, when I throw a prayer letter away, I almost feel convicted, okay? And so, keep them. Now, how long you keep them, that, you know, that varies, okay? But don't just read it and immediately throw it away. And then next, another thing that you can do as being part of a supporting church is give financially as you are able. Okay? As you are able. I'd like to be able to give to Liberty Behind Bars $500 a month. They'd like me to be able to give $500 a month. But I need to give when I can give.
That's right.
And what I can give. Yes. Now, actually, when I checked out their new website, I saw that you can donate through PayPal. Now, that floats my boat, okay? Because I don't have to pick up my checkbook or my pen and write it out. I don't have to hope to remember when they're going to be here so I can give it to them, or I can give it to Miss Ashley and then she can, you know, put it in their account. But I like that. So I send them money on PayPal just so that when they got it, they'd say, oh, here's one from Pastor Hayne. Now, having done that, I realized when I send it, you know what? You probably ought to send it more than just when you wanted to play with it and see how it would be. And so, you see what the Lord got me into? Now, I'm not blaming the Lord, not in any sense, but the Lord let me know. Now, that's, you like to use PayPal? You can do that. And so I can do that. You can do that. You can give however. You say, well, I don't have much to give. Hey, I only gave him $3. No, I gave him more than that. It isn't the amount. Just give him what God puts on your heart. Now, another thing. And this is to help you sitting in the pews to have insight to God's leading in a servant's life. Some of the things that I'm sharing and do share when it comes to missions are things that I learned when I was part of the missionary training school for Good Shepherd Baptist Mission. I went there originally, 30 years ago, in order to learn something, because we were our daughter Monica's sending agency. We verified to the government in Northern Ireland that we would stand behind Monica and any indebtedness. I verified that we would pay any medical bills that she was not able to. I verified that if necessary, we would pay her transport home. Because you see, when a missionary goes into foreign countries, that foreign country wants to know that sort of thing. Now, I don't know the requirements of every country in the world. All I know is that many countries, they want to know that. If a missionary goes out through a mission board, then that board assumes those responsibilities. But when a local church is the sending agent, which we were for Monica, then the church had to do that. And so I've learned some of the things I'm sharing when I was teaching in that training school. As a matter of fact, Samantha and I were talking. We were talking about goals and goal setting. And I said, hey, you know what? I taught a class on that in missionary training school. Let me look and see if I can find them notes. Well, I knew where the notes were. It was a matter of finding the right book, and I did. So I ran off some photocopies for her and and gave them to her tonight. Brother Dale, as a matter of fact, I think I ran off the whole book for you, 200 and some pages. So some of the stuff I'm sharing is coming from that. Servants must follow God's leading. Now, I realize that seems, again, like an obvious. But the Lord will train and prepare people for what he knows is coming in his plan. The servant must follow the Lord's leading because the Lord is leading them in the way he is, because he knows that they need something that he's leading them in on down the road. A year, five, whatever. The kind of ministry that he's going to be leading them in. And so he has plans. And here is where faith and trust come into play. God can see and know what we can't see and know. The servant would do what fits him or her. But God will do what will fit the servant for his work, God's work. And so following God's leading. And again, you know, that's the sort of thing person sitting in the pew, they're going to say, well, yeah, sure, sir, of course, that missionary that's here on Sunday, he needs to be following God's leading. Hey, listen, he's human just like you are. And therefore, he has thoughts and feelings of his own. But he can't follow them. He has got to follow God's leading. You're a pastor and pastor emeritus. We have got to follow God's leading. We have thoughts and feelings and ideas. We have things that we like and don't like. Oh, I know that surprises you. You're certain we just like everything that's going on. And that there isn't a thing that would in any way cause us, well, okay. So you need to follow. The servant must follow God's leading. Now, these things are not only true for what we would call somebody in full-time service, which usually identifies a person who, like our missionary on Sunday, his occupation is as a missionary. And therefore, he's a full-time servant. Okay? Tim's occupation is as an engineer. Now, he serves the Lord, okay, in the local church and whatever, but that's his occupation. He's got a full-time occupation. So the missionary, you see, he has a full-time occupation as a missionary. Pastor has a full-time occupation as what? A pastor, right? And so the Scoltons are going to Buffalo. They're going to work, as I said, with Pastor Jim Donath at the Evangelical Baptist Church. And I encourage you, if you can go online, you go online and you just type in the search box, Evangelical Baptist Church, Buffalo, New York, and you'll see a picture come up. It'll be a picture like that over there. And then you can look, and like I say, with Google Rotate, you can see the neighborhood, okay? And now, I will say this, the house across the one street from the church, their screen door has, it's what I call a security screen door, okay? It's got some bars on it. Oh, whoa, guess that must be Buffalo. Hey, listen, when I need a screen door, that's the kind I'm getting. Now, not because we live in a high crime area, okay, but because at night when it's hot, as it's, you know, summer, I'd like to be able to leave the door open for some air. But you just don't do that. Okay, and therefore, you close the door. Now, I will say this, if I get up at, 3, 4 o'clock, and I decide to go out to my chair, I'll open up the front door. Now it's locked, okay, and I've got it set in such a way as it wouldn't be easy to get in. You know, sure, just slip the screen. Nah, I got it rigged. Roger rigged it, okay? but I also take what Biden wants to take away from me. I take that out, and I have that laying on the table next to where I'm sitting, so that if I hear anything, you got to listen to the news more. He wants to take away your 9mm handguns. That's what I think. So, I just sure hope nobody comes to the front door that doesn't belong there and doesn't have any ill intentions. When we lived in Harrisburg, we did live in a crime area. And one night, Pat woke up, and I wasn't in bed. And she heard me walking out in the hallway upstairs, second floor in the hallway, long, narrow hallway. She heard me walking. So she got out of bed. She turned on the light so she could see where I was. And I was walking through the hallway with my rifle. Okay? I was walking through there. And she didn't know, should she waken me? She was, do I waken him? Is he going to be scared? What's he going to do? I don't remember what she did do. All I know is I didn't shoot her. And so, where was I now? In Buffalo, it's an inner city work. That's not the location of Ronnie and Amy's choosing, but it's a door that God has opened. Okay, now I told you, it's a residential area, single dwelling homes. What will they do? Well, they'd like to know, and I'm curious too. But I can well imagine that they will do some visitation. They might be contact homes where the pastor says, here's the address, here's the people's name, tell them a little about the place and they go visit. It might be just a door knocking, going from one door to the other. If you don't get an answer, you leave literature on the door. If you get an answer, you introduce yourself as being from Evangelical Baptist Church, Pastor Jim Donath, and we're here to invite you to the church. We'd like to leave this literature, and most people will take it. A lot of people won't. And as they're closing the door, thank you, appreciate your time. And you go on to the next place. Maybe that's what he'll have them doing. I don't know, maybe he'll have them painting a Sunday school room. I have no idea. I do know this, it's training for ministry. Because anything that will go on there are the kind of things that will go on. and so, through the years, I've heard a number of missionaries tell their testimonies. And before they fully yielded or actually yielded to the Lord, they said they prayed something like this: God, I'll go. I'll go anywhere you want, but not Africa. Really? I'll go anywhere you want, but not a place with snakes. Okay? Well, God doesn't take, that's not yieldingness to God. Yieldingness to God is I'll go, and oh, we do so well singing it. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or land, or plain, or sea. Oh, yeah, and we like to sing it. We feel so good when we sing it. But when we have to live it, it's another thing. You say, well, I'm not you like they did. No, but if you sing the song God has something for you to do right here, okay, then the same thing would apply. You see, one of the things that we're fearful about when it comes to giving these kind of explanations is that everybody just sort of focuses in on the Morey's, and this 2 weeks focuses in on the Skoltons, and they somehow feel exempted. No, these things apply to us in our areas and realms of service in the local church. Let me share with you something I told Dale several years ago, and I talked to Dale about this. Same way, when I observed what I did about the neighborhood, I sent him a text, and I said, am I observing correctly? It's residential, single-dwelling buildings. In other words, not big old houses turned into apartments and so on, okay? And he said, yep, that what you're seeing, that is what it is. Well, this is what I told Dale several years ago. He lamented to me that he wanted to serve God in prison ministry, but he missed being at Black Creek Baptist Church, and he'd missed teaching his Sunday school class. Now, I don't remember exactly what I said to Dale, but it was along the lines that we don't get to pick and choose. If we're going to yield and we're going to follow, there are some things that we must give up. Now, I'm sure he still misses Black Creek Baptist Church. I'm sure he still misses the Sunday school class. But he knew what God's will for his life was. Now, not only did he have that for himself, but the other part of him, okay, that it'd be Amy. She had to go through these kind of feelings too. So he's not only yielding for himself, he's not only making adjustments in his mind and heart for himself, but he knows that he has to lead her in this. You know, well, he's the head of the home. He can just let the hammer down. No, it doesn't work that way. That's probably why your marriage is the way it is. If you've got that concept. Amy still misses Black Creek. She still misses the Sunday school classes. But she's doing what she knows is God's will for their family. Luke and Autumn, they figure in a similar manner. Not always to the same extent as what do the parents. Now, just where God will lead Ronnie to serve him in the future, we don't know. But right now, it's in Buffalo. We don't know where it'll be a year or two or whatever from now. The card that I made for you to use, like a prayer card, says on there about training the servant called by God. You see? You see, just because a person's called doesn't mean they become automatically capable of everything. Good night, no. If God opened a door for training in a village like Cuba, but he didn't. Now he opened the door for training in Buffalo. And somehow God knows that what they get during these 2 weeks in their experiences and what God works in each of their hearts, he has a place where that fits in a couple years down the road when God puts him into a place of service. You see, this is all what's involved. Because when you sit in the pew and you say, yeah, Ronnie feels called, and yeah, they're going up to Buffalo, hip hip hooray. And we don't always think about what all's involved. Other than if you don't like the cities, you're liable to say, yeah, you're going up to Buffalo. I'm glad he's going, not me. Yeah. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. Except Africa, where there are snakes. Except Buffalo in the inner city. Hey, look at it this way. Now, they're going to be staying, I understand, in West Seneca at Center Street Baptist Church. Now, let me take a little sidelight here. On Sunday, Dale is going to be in Howard, Pennsylvania. Maybe, have you ever wondered, where is Dale? How does he find out about all of these churches? God opens doors.
That's right.
See, have you prayed with anybody already that prayed that prayer? Lord, open doors for them. Well, this is how he does it. He was at West Seneca at Center Street Baptist Church. And there was a lady there who happened to be the wife of the pastor, Romola Baptist Church in Howard, Pennsylvania, where they're going on Sunday. And she told her husband, well, she said something to Dale, and then she told her husband, you need to get in touch with this guy and have him come. And so he did, because he's a good pastor and listens to his wife. And so, you can tell him I said that if you'd like. but yes.
He actually started at Center Road Baptist Church. Many years ago, Pastor Livermore started Center Road Baptist Church.
Okay. Okay. See, I'm glad you filled that in, because I knew of Center Road with Barney Lee. And Barney must have been the fella that followed him. And when you said a pastor's wife, I just had a picture of a younger woman.
No, she's older.
Yeah. And so, okay, very good. Thank you. I appreciate knowing that. And so, now, this Sunday, Black Creek Baptist Church is celebrating its 200th anniversary. Not Dale and Amy and the family. They're going to be at Howard, Pennsylvania. Not Ronnie and Amy Scolton. They're going to be in Buffalo, New York. Listen, folks. Disappointing as this is for them, and it would be for me, this is God's will for them. And they could do what they needed to do to change that. And I don't know what the price would be, but they'd pay a price. Okay? So, when you think about praying for them, that's something to pray about. Amy's already emotional about it, and that's understandable. That's all right. But again, it's not just, well, they're running off to ministry, they're running off to ministry, hip hip hooray, everything's fine. No, it's not. There's a price to pay for serving the Lord. And in this particular matter, and it really, as I look back in all of life, I can honestly say, not cold-heartedly, but this is a small price, missing the anniversary. It's a small price. It'll be on live stream, and I know that's not the same as being in person. Maybe you're thinking something like, what do you know? You'll be here at the church. I'm going to end with my testimony. Our first two churches were in the city, Reading, Pennsylvania and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I like that. Then God led me to Shingle House. Not to Grace Bible on Coon Crossing Road at first, but rather to a church about 3 miles up from the highway, Route 44, about 3 miles up. It'd be similar to going up Rawson Road where Wilcoxes live. Okay? Go up there about 3 miles. And that's where the church was. I liked the city. You know what I enjoyed about Harrisburg? Across the street from the parsonage was a little deli Mom and pop store. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I couldn't afford to go then. We had four kids and no money, or very little money. But you know what I liked hearing? I liked hearing that screen door slam. People go in and out and the screen door would slam. And I enjoyed that. The street we lived on was a main feeder street, city street, but a feeder street to one of the hospitals. And therefore, we'd hear police cruisers and ambulances going up and down that street, their sirens going. Even where we live now, I like that when I hear the sirens of these vehicles. You say, you're nuts. Well, you needed that to confirm it? The point that I'm making, it was God's will for me to leave what I liked and to go where I went. It was Bell Run Union Church, 3 miles up that road. And then to start Grace Bible Church. And you know what? I became content there. And I liked serving God there. Why? Because that was God's will. And fortunately, I had grown sufficient in my walk with Him to know that. Had I spent my time lamenting and complaining, being there, out in the woods, you know, can't even hear a siren. And here, you know, when we went to bed the first night, and Ashley will appreciate this, she knows where the parsonage is. We took the back bedroom. Now, the front bedroom had the church parking lot, dusk to dawn light. We took the back bedroom. We turned the light out. You know what? It was dark. I mean, I couldn't see my hand. I held it up. Well, I took care of that. I had to turn the hall light on. Oh, I can go lay down. Oh, this is better. I'm just laying there. Nothing. Maybe a cricket. Too quiet. So we had a radio in the bedroom. I turned it on. Low. But I had, you know, white noise, they called it, okay? Well, I think I probably had it turned up enough to be gray noise. That was normal to me. That was normal. But it doesn't matter what's normal to me. What matters is what was normal to God for me. And then He just helped me to make whatever changes I need. So, what does God have for you? Be it an occupation of ministry, or be it an occupation of whatever sort it is where you earn your daily living, and you serve God here in this local church. Focus on God and He'll bless you. Focus on God and He'll use you. Full time? Maybe. Maybe not. That's not the important thing. The important thing is focusing on God. Focus on yourself, and your life will be like so many, just filling a pew and missing what God had planned for them. I hope these thoughts help. As I said, some of you have heard such things before and understand. But for those who do not or did not understand, I hope it is a help to you. Now, I'm going to share some prayer requests. That's all. We're done for now. Goodbye, folks watching on live stream.
It's over.
Yeah. I told Pastor when I'm going to